Support for Central Florida Public Media comes from Emory-Riddle Aeronautical University's worldwide campus, where students can launch or accelerate careers in aerospace, business, engineering, or applied science. More at erau.edu/ww.
I'm Sharon Stone. This is Engage. New Owala cup? Check. New backpack? Secured. New pair of designer sneakers? All right, costly, but okay. New Mac laptop? What are you asking for? Coming up, the cost of preparing for the new school year and the conversations more people are having around affordability. You are listening to Engage on Central Florida Public Media. I'm Sharon Stone. It's Thursday, July 30th, 2026. Coming up, we explore the right way to answer when a child asks, why can't we afford that? Also, part two of our conversation with the people vying to replace Orange County Mayor Jerry Demings. The four candidates talk property tax reform, tourism spending, and chronic flooding in Central Florida. And we take you to the bilingual brain health bingo that's supporting our seniors in Central Florida. But first, it is the time of year when families are out tackling those back-to-school checklists. For many, checking everything off is getting harder. Orlando mom Diamond Lewis has children heading into pre-K and first grade. She says the basics are getting more expensive.
Some of the school supplies, like pre-K, I have to get a sleeping mat that I can't find an affordable one. I have to get shoes and clothes. Prices are going up on those, so it's kind of hard. I've been getting donations most of the time. So
Lewis isn't alone. Valentina Jacobs has a son heading into fifth grade and is seeing similar increases in prices.
I would say school, I like school clothes, shoes. I would say paper, just all in general. Everything, to be honest with you, is going up.
The National Retail Federation says families with students in elementary through high school plan to spend an average of about $864 on back-to-school shopping this year, up slightly from last year. Nationwide total spending is projected to reach a record high of $43.3 billion, driven by higher spending on shoes, school supplies, and electronics. Rising costs are forcing parents to make trade-offs. Antoine McNeil lives in Orlando and is reprioritizing his spending after taking custody of his nieces 2 years ago, who will be going into Head Start, fourth grade, and sixth grade.
If anything, it's just more or less personal things for myself. I can go without, but I make sure that they have.
In Central Florida, some families turn to community events to ease financial stress. Families lined up Sunday for a free back-to-school supply giveaway at Christ Church Orlando. There, long tables were covered with the colorful variety of markers, crayons, notebooks, and other supplies.
Did you get glue? Yeah, glue was your favorite?
Yeah.
Yeah, what else was your favorite?
Please tell me.
And what was the one thing that you needed, school supplies this year? What's the one thing you had to bring?
Folder.
What color did you pick?
Purple.
A purple folder?
That's awesome.
Everything that we provide here is completely free, and so they get to do their little shopping spree with the bag and just pick whatever they want, whatever color they want, and feel like they're able to make some choices and to pick some things out for themselves. And we want to take off an additional burden that parents experience at this time of year. We're all struggling right now to get through day to day, and I think that this is just the church's gesture to try to make life easier for people who may need it, may not, but it just takes that extra thing off of their plate.
That was Christina Flores. She helped organize the event and worked with teachers to identify supplies elementary, middle, and high school students will need this year. She's also navigating these conversations at home with her seventh grader.
I'm a single mom, and I'm getting through it. She's getting in line just like the rest of the kids.
Flores says it can be a challenge to help children understand why they can't always have everything they see online if it's outside the family budget.
I have an Amazon cart right now full of stuff that my kid has added, and I'm like, what are you doing? Because kids, you know, they're on social media, or they see their friends, and they're, you know, they're trying to compete with the latest and the greatest. Certain kind of water bottles, I think, are the thing. The backpacks are the thing.
Those conversations might start with a backpack or water bottle, but therapists say they're often about bigger questions children are grappling with about whether they fit in or acceptance. Charlotte McCullough, licensed marriage and family therapist at Centerpiece Couples and Family Therapy, says when a child says everyone else has it, it's important to understand what they're really asking for.
With kids, they're not just thinking about like pencils and notebooks anymore when it's time to go back to school. They're thinking whether they have the right shoes, the most popular backpack, the newest water bottle, and whether they will fit in when they walk through those school doors, you know? So it's that peer pressure as well around being accepted, being validated by their peers. And then for some families, you know, the state of our economy right now, some families can't afford the newest water bottle, the latest shoes, the latest clothing, and the different labels right now. And that can cause pressure for parents as well. And then for children going back to school, they can feel like, I'm not a cool kid. You know, I'm not going to be accepted by my peers.
Some parents, like you mentioned, are going to have to tell their kids, we can't buy that. Any advice?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, how do you have that conversation?
I'm seeing a lot of parents have a lot of guilt and shame around not being able to afford those different things that they want to provide for their children, things that their children want. And for parents, I would say, before saying, no, we can't afford that, just take a pause and ask yourself, what does this item really mean to my child? Sometimes it's not really about the backpack. It's really about belonging, their confidence, and not wanting to feel different than the other children. So parents can actually validate the feelings without agreeing to every purchase. But having that empathy for your child and having that conversation with them, you know, I understand why you want it, but we also have to make choices that are healthy for our family. And conversations like that, it teaches the children their feelings matter, but feelings don't always determine the financial decisions in the household.
For parents, how do they help kids who are worried that they're going to be teased because they don't have the newest things?
So it's also a good time, I think, to explain the difference between needs and wants. And also, it's a time, I think, to explain to your children that labels, shoes, or water bottles aren't the only things that can boost their confidence. Those aren't the only things that make them important. Those things don't determine if they're smart, if they're beautiful, if they're handsome. Those aren't the only things that matter. It's about who you are. It's about love. It's about the support that you have from your family. We don't have to shame them, you know, for wanting nice things. But I think we do have to teach them that every want or everything that they see other people having is not an emergency. And that does not determine their worth.
How do you think social media and the pressure of influencers has changed those expectations for kids?
I think it has totally changed the expectations. I think it has exposed our children to things that they would normally not even be concerned with or not even desire. But being exposed to it on social media and the validation of the likes and the conversations around the different things that they see their peers having can also pique their interest or could also have them feeling that I'm not a cool kid or I'm not worthy or I'm not important or my family is not a family that's, you know, part of the in crowd, or my family is one that can't afford these things, so we're poor. And that can cause a lot of shame as well with children, which in turn can cause children to act out in a negative way.
I know that I am guilty of getting on the internet and comparing myself to people I see online, friends on Facebook, for example. And I have to remind myself, hey, this isn't a snapshot of reality. So if like an adult can struggle with that, have to remind themselves, how in the world do you get a kid to get it? Like, hey, what you're seeing online, that's not the whole story.
Absolutely. And that's hard to explain to a child. I think that's why it's so important that we have these ongoing conversations with our children around social media, around their day-to-day lives, those things that are important to them, those things that they see as important, And having conversations, not just how your day is or how did your day go or did anyone make you mad today? Asking things like, what's the latest shoes that's out right now? What are some of those things that you like about fashion? What are some of the things that you're seeing on social media? Talking to them about those things right where they are, age appropriately, of course, but talking to them about things that are important in their world and normalizing those conversations so that it gives the parents the opportunity to have to get into their world and talk to them on their level so that the parent or the adult or caregiver can influence them in a more positive way. But if we don't have those ongoing conversations, we don't know what's rattling in their heads. We don't know what they're exposed to or what things they're struggling with around feeling like they're being left out.
Charlotte, what are some signs that maybe your kid is struggling with some of these issues that we've been talking about, but they're not verbalizing it to their parents?
I think it's important to be mindful of your child's day-to-day behaviors. So if you start noticing that they are withdrawing, if you start noticing that their clothing patterns have changed, if you start noticing that they are hanging with a different crowd or their language has changed, those are some indicators. Also, withdrawn behavior. So if they're isolating, retreating to their rooms and not coming out at all, not coming out to eat, not coming out to engage with the family, I think it's time for parents to pay attention to that and then lean into it and engage, initiate conversations with their children. Even if they shut down, even if it feels like they don't want to talk, still engage them, not from an investigative perspective, but asking questions or just having normal conversations about their world. Because anytime any of us, when we feel pressured or we feel that we're being asked questions rapidly, it could cause us to shut down, can cause our anxiety to go up, and that conversation cannot feel safe and we can just shut down.
What do you hope parents remember as they're getting their kids ready for back to school?
Most importantly, reminding your child that their confidence cannot come from a label, a shoe, a water bottle, the latest jewelry alone. Those things are nice, those things are fun, but they do not get to determine your worth. The message for our children should be, you do not have to look like everyone else to belong. You still belong. You're still important. We still validate you.
Charlotte McCullough is a licensed marriage and family therapist at Centerpiece Couples and Family Therapy in Winter Park. Engage is a production of Central Florida Public Media. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. Richard Copeland is our senior producer. I'm Sharon Stone. You can reach us anytime with questions, comments, or story ideas. Send an email to engage@cfpublic.org. Thanks for listening.